Live and local 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. Sactown Sports.
Sals and Watkins, Sactown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. previewing the Kings versus the Cavs. And Chris Watkins' favorite player, Donovan Mitchell. Friend of the show, by the way. Shout out Donovan Mitchell. Yeah, no, he is for you.
I'm so mad I forgot to wear my rookie jacket today.
Oh, well. Remember, you can grab
it. I hated
that. We got a long break coming up.
Remember, you want me to drive home real quick?
I couldn't stand that.
When him and Ben Simmons were fighting over rookie of the
That's
year.
That's right.
Yeah, but nobody made a stink of it when Blake Griffin did it.
Or
you know?
Chet's in the running right
Chet's
now.
Chet's doing it right now.
So I don't have a problem with it.
What a funny world
People
that was.
People just hated Ben Simmons, even back then.
Shout out Ben Simmons. As we preview Kings, Cavs, still talking about the Niners and that shellacking of the Jaguars, Duval, and there were a bunch of... Did you see there's a video going around?
Oh, geez.
And the video is the basically a Jaguars fan saying, this is your guys' stadium now. He was just joking, saying, this is your stadium now. Yeah. And I guess it was really at the end of the game or towards the end of the game, it was really overcast. And he said, you guys...
It just turned into the Bay.
It looks like the Bay Area now.
Turned Florida into Santa Clara.
Yeah, so the Jacksonville Jaguars are down bad. That was not a good showing. Putting up 3 points in this quote-unquote flag football era is never a good look. But it's a great look for Brock Purdy, Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch, and the San Francisco 49ers. They get back on track. Emil Fragoso... 11:30, Sactown Sports Niners reporter, as we continue to break down the Kings going up against the Cavs. And we were talking about Donovan Mitchell.
Yep.
Chris, you always have things to say about Donovan Mitchell and the wingspan and how he's a bit limited and who he can guard. But
Davion. Wait, are we talking Donovan or Davion?
Davion.
Davion.
We're talking Davion.
There we go.
Right?
Need to be clear on today's date.
Yes. I'm talking about, you don't like either of them, really.
Let's not say I don't like. You know, I just say I see some problems.
But I will say this is a day, and we have used this term short Kings. If you've been rocking, you've been listening. Yeah. I use the term Zonts because we are more horizontal. If you are above 6 foot, you are a vert because you are more vertical.
Yes.
Right. So this was a big weekend for the Arizona Cardinals, the Arizona Zonts, right? Because they got the W. Kyler returns.
Yeah.
Okay. And Kyler right here, this is the Cardinals short King lineup. All right. So Kyler claims 5'10". Brother.
No way. 5'8", 5'9".
I'm 5'10 in the media guide as well. Yeah. I know. With cleats on and a couple Dr. Scholes, we'll get you there. But Kyler, I don't think so, brother.
Come
but
on.
It's okay. We still accept you
we
for
round
who you
up,
are.
I guess.
Kyler, 5'10". Marquise Brown, 5'9".
Wow.
Rondale Moore, 5'7". Greg Dortch, 5'7". And Amari DeMarco, 5'9".
There's no way.
Is the short King lineup for the Cardinals.
They got it done.
Even though we are more horizontal, we still persevere.
There's no way.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you can be quick. Football. Everybody jokes about baseball is trust me, I played baseball.
Sure.
Okay? The way their eyes light up when somebody is 6'5", they do not care about a 5'9" or hitting a seed up the middle. They do not care about that. So I don't want to hear. But football... If you do one thing very well, I think football might be the sport where height matters the least.
That's tough.
Cowboys position, fans were loving Deuce Vaughn. Yeah,
position dependent
for sure.
On position.
Right, of course. I guess I hear what you're saying. It's... I'm just trying to think of the other sports. Like, baseball, of course, just has such a... Like, you know, Jose Altuve
There's
is a
one.
Ridiculous
That's
athlete.
One.
So,
That's one.
The most exceptional athlete maybe I've ever seen.
Yes.
Yeah, and then number two is like Mookie Betts, who's also under 6 foot, but it's like maybe
he,
the second
he,
best
I'm
athlete.
Sure Mookie can dunk.
Yeah, he
5'9".
Literally can. I hear what you're saying. Like, in no other sport could, like, someone who's as differently sized as Tyreek Hill be as ridiculous as he is. Like, Isaiah Thomas was as close as we've seen in basketball to like someone who was short but was acting like someone who wasn't
Nate Robinson.
At his size. Yeah, but even Nate Robinson never, you know, really, you know, Nate Robinson wasn't even a starter in the NBA, you know? Like, it's...
Yeah. He had a run. Didn't he have a run?
Yeah, he was there for a minute.
He was very replaceable, though.
Right,
like, you
right.
know, in football, you can truly be a star in height. Like, again, Tyreek Hill, and it doesn't really impact you. Percy Harvin, and
saying.
It doesn't really impact you.
Yesterday, The two guys coming in is DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. Did you see that?
Tyler Lockett as well.
Did you
right.
see that?
Could not be any more different.
Both wide receivers.
Yeah.
Both
yeah.
wide receivers. It has to be football.
It has to. Yeah, where height just doesn't matter.
Because
even
biggest,
in golf, like it kind of matters in golf. Like, you know, just in terms of like, you know, if you're a bigger guy, you're just going to be able to pull it a little.
It generally matters
bit.
In tennis, yeah. which you don't.
Oh,
really
for sure.
Think
yeah,
that.
Just in isn't, terms of reach and yeah. stuff like that.
Isn't
absolutely.
Lionel Messi like 5'8" and a half?
Soccer,
yes,
but again,
like
put him under Altuve. Yeah.
But he's okay. So I don't know soccer as well. He's more of the exception to the rule.
I would say so. CK916 on the YouTube chat is saying
probably
soccer, but
yeah,
I'm. Be careful.
But soccer is also, I wouldn't say it's like, there's...
You don't need to be
You really
big.
Can only be a striker or a winger if you're small in soccer. There's like the occasional small center back, but for the most part, like, I mean, there's a couple like...
It's football,
defensive
man.
Mids who
it's
are...
It's football.
It's probably an even split of soccer and football.
Okay.
That's what I... That's probably the right take to have, but in terms of... The American glasses, for sure. Absolutely. It's
yes.
football. Absolutely.
It's got to be football. Yeah. Darren Sproles.
Yeah, Darren
right?
Sproles
all,
exists.
All of those
guys. Of
course,
guys. You can't have short linemen or anything
no,
like that.
No.
But even then.
So
know,
I say all this to
Eric
say.
Eric Donald.
I say yeah. all this to say, relatively speaking, Davion Mitchell would be, he's an NBA Zion, right? He's
oh,
not a Zion
sure.
in real life,
he's
right? He's
6 foot.
But he's an NBA Zion. And this is a day where I think we could use his services, the Kings can.
For sure.
Because you have Darius Garland who goes 6'1".
Yeah.
And you have Donovan Mitchell
there
who
go.
Goes 6'3".
Yeah.
Right? And both of those guys, I would be comfortable. It's not yeah. a Klay Thompson 6'7". Right. And I don't think, by the way, I don't think Klay's made a shot since that game winner. But that's a conversation for a different day. Sorry,
can't
Klay.
Can't even make layups
no, you
these
can't,
days.
You can't even make
so,
a layup
you know,
at this
course,
point. He just let it all hang out
Kings
on that one
right
shot against the Kings. But I think this is a game where even though we talked about with Shai Gilgeous, you had to go Keon Ellis.
Yeah, for sure.
I think you've won two in a row.
Right.
You go Keon Ellis, but you tell Davion, this Davion, off night, needs
yeah.
to show up tonight because
absolutely.
You have two guards where you can just let him go and put him on an island.
Yeah, no, that's a fantastic call. And both I said it during the playoff series, but like that's in a series where you know you're going against Steph Curry for 7 games. That's where Davion's going to shine his most mm-hmm. because you know of how reliant the Warriors are on Steph, and you know Cleveland to a certain extent is definitely that reliant on their guards. They're definitely reliant on Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell to get them buckets. And yeah, Davion's size profile definitely fits his ability to guard them and their importance as well. I agree. I think Davion definitely could have the biggest impact on tonight's game if he shows up defensively, which more times than not, he definitely does. But yeah, I would love to see. I wouldn't even mind if Davion gets inserted into that lineup. We're going to talk later about, you know, if Keon Ellis has shown up in his 2 games, which I think he has, spoiler, but I definitely wouldn't be upset if Mike Brown wants to kind of look at how Davion's performed coming off the bench and say, all right, maybe I'm willing to give this guy another shot because, you know, situationally and positionally, it kind of makes sense on a night like tonight. So I think that's a great call. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think this is an opportunity for Davion. Hey, if you get an opportunity to go up and do something
for sure.
that – do something that you're good at, right? Yeah. You have an opportunity to, hey, I'm supposed to be good at this.
Yeah.
I get to show everybody why yep. I believe I'm good at this, why coach believes I'm good at this. This is my night.
I actually kind of think Davion on Donovan's like a perfect matchup for him.
Just
annoy physically
him.
As
just
well.
Annoy
like,
him.
Yeah, because Donovan Mitchell's big thing is, oh, I'm just, Donovan Mitchell's a pretty strong dude. Like,
right.
and he's low center of gravity and everything. So he kind of uses his strength to push people around. I think Davion's, I mean, he's got the lower, you know, he's got the leverage edge on him for sure,
yeah.
being smaller. I don't think Donovan could push Davion around like
no,
that.
No, I don't think
I
he
really
could.
Don't.
I think the question becomes, even though Donovan is a better player than Darius Garland,
for sure.
I don't know if the Kings have anybody else that could guard Darius Garland, if
sure.
that makes sense.
No, absolutely. Yeah.
Because
if
you
it's
put,
not Keon,
if
yeah,
you,
absolutely.
Right. Well, then you're not going to play Keon and
no,
Davion. We've seen
don't.
Some wild
please
lineups,
don't.
But Mike, we got to stop somewhere.
Yeah, you got to draw
we can't
lines.
Do that. We can't do that. Because, yeah, I would probably put Davion on Garland.
Yeah, that does make
because
sense.
Because I don't like Keegan on Garland.
No, no.
I'm actually a really big Garland guy.
Yeah, for
he's
sure.
in my group of
he's
that
really
those new
too.
Guards, those young guards. So I would like Davion probably on Darius Garland
yeah.
at least to start. If
sure.
if Darius has been off and maybe, hey, we need to slow down Donovan a bit. Maybe you switch it up. The question I would have is if you put Davion on Darius, I mean, how many names that start with the letter D can you say here? Yeah. But if you have Davion on Garland, who would you put on Donovan Mitchell?
Yeah.
Because based on what we've seen from Keegan, it's more important to me. That's what's tough, right? Yep. Because, okay, the two options, and I'm not putting Harrison Barnes in that conversation. It's either Herter or Keegan.
Yep.
You have Herter, who's just now heating up. Do you sacrifice that to chase
potentially around? Potentially sacrifice it.
Yes, to potentially throw him off by throwing him on Donovan all game.
Getting tired legs.
Right. Know. Or do you put Keegan, who he fought his way to that 24.
He really
that
did.
Was a hard-earned 24. He's still not shooting the ball well. Would you put Keegan on him because, okay, Keegan, just focus on defense and whatever we get from you offensively is gravy. What would you do?
I personally, in looking at the numbers, I think I would put Kevin Herter on Donovan Mitchell.
I think I would too.
I looked at some of the numbers, and last year in the games in which the Kings played Cleveland, Kevin Herter actually defended pretty well. In those two games, they averaged 9 shots per game against Kevin. They shot at 33%. So he did the best of anybody who played in those matchups last year. And I kind of think, you know, Mike Brown has talked about he threw Kevin Herter on Steph earlier. They by their metrics, Kevin Herter is actually one of the best defenders on the Kings. You can argue about that all you want. It's just a thing that Mike Brown has been adamant about, so he'll contest you on it if you want to go back and forth. But they believe Kevin Herter is somebody who's capable of defending, and frankly, Kevin Herter has to be able to defend guys like Donovan Mitchell on some nights, because if he wants to stay on the floor for 30 minutes and keep that starting spot, part of it is defending as well. And I think Mike Brown's made it very clear that that's going to have to be a part of this team's identity this year. Right. So, I think it's got to be Kevin Herter, or else, you know, he's not going to be able to hold down that lineup spot for the entire season. Past this season, because I think Mike Brown is really looking at guys to play defense. And right now it's looking good for Kevin for sure. But, you know, I think that the defensive end is going to be the thing that's going to determine who locks down that spot permanently.
Yeah. And for Kevin Herter, you talk about, oh, is defense just effort? And we talk about when you're in CYO maybe, but when you get a little bit older, it's nice to have a couple, nice to have length. It's nice to be able to jump. Lateral quickness. Kevin Herter, when you talk about E for effort, that guy gives it all defensively, and you can
Kevin
tell.
Kevin Herter.
Yes, sir.
So good on Kevin. Look, the only other guys, like you're talking about Chris Duarte and Vezenkov, guys like that. Right now, to your point, it's not that it's not iron sharpens iron, but it's Kevin Herter. And that's why you specifically said this season. Because I don't know. As of right now, it's a long season.
Yeah.
Based on what I've seen from Duarte and Vezenkov, there's nobody that can get if Duarte is better than Herter defensively, sure. But offensively, I haven't seen anything from Duarte to make me think.
Agreed.
I'll take Kevin and just hope that this is the night that he goes off.
Agreed.
Every single
100%
night. 100% agreed. Every single night. Yep. All right. Got to get to a break. When we get back, the question is, to all you Slim Shady fans, will the real Sacramento Kings please stand up? Please stand up. Please stand up. That and more, Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Your flagship station for the Beam Team, Sacktown Sports.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Wait, are we matching the day? Is this our 13th show on the 13th? November? There's no way.
Do the math real quick.
Yep.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah,
how did we pull that off?
It's like the
weekends,
yeah, this
that's
is 13.
How.
Wow.
Wow, 13
it's like
on 13.
Like a year thing? Is that kind of what it is? Like every now and then the clock is just right?
13 for 13, not 30 for 30. I'm probably going to play the lottery today then. And I'll tell you what, Chris, I've had so much fun with you these 13 days. If I won it, I'd be here tomorrow. I would.
No, you have to.
No, yeah, I would.
You actually have to be here.
Oh, wait. So for the rest of the week, it's going to line up because 14 on the 14th, 15, 15, all the way to the end of the week.
Wow. That's crazy.
That is crazy. Yeah, that is
crazy. Damn, that's
crazy
is what you say when you
just
don't think
that's crazy.
That LeBron, yo, that's Christ.
That's crazy. That's what you say, you know, crazy. When, you know, I'm on the phone with, I don't know, one of my sisters or somebody. Yeah, man, that
crazy.
Is
crazy.
No, whoa. She said, what? That's crazy. What? Dang. So I was in watching Sacktown Sports taking up to 2 p.m.
What?
Emil Fragoso
crazy.
At 11:30, Sacktown Sports Niners reporter. We will get the biggest update after the Niners big win, because that's what they do. They win big or they just don't tend to show up at all. So that's at 11:30. We have our who would you rather have? Would you rather A or B at 11:45? We will continue to preview the Kings at 12 p.m. And yes, 1:15 will be our dog segment. So get those dogs in. We want some unique picks. You got to go out on a limb.
Yeah. Right?
Nate, a couple days ago, he said, hey, JaVale McGee's going to have three offensive rebounds in one possession.
Yeah.
He was terribly wrong.
JaVale hasn't seen the floor since, literally.
I think maybe Nate shouldn't do the dog segments because or whoever Nate says, just stay away from them. But everybody else.
In fairness, Nate made up for it because he predicted Cleland Furl would have a sack yesterday.
That's true.
Great.
That's true. We can take the dog segment to the Niners as well. Why not? As we break down the Kings and the Cavs, and will the real Sacramento Kings please stand up? They are 2-3 in their last five games, all without De'Aaron Fox. 4-4 through eight games without Fox. They lost two to the same opponent in the Golden State Warriors and the Houston Rockets. So who are the Kings, Chris? Are they who we saw on Friday? I hope they're not who we saw in Houston,
yeah.
Or are they just somewhere in between?
I think that they're a team, and this is newsflash, so get your pen and pencil. They're a team that, frankly, needs De'Aaron Fox to be the team that they ultimately want to be. I think that's the first and foremost thing that we've learned so far throughout the season is if the Kings are going to be a team that builds upon the success of last year, if they are going to make it to the second round of the playoffs, newsflash, none of that is possible without their star for a large portion of the season. Like,
yeah.
It's very clear that they wouldn't probably be able to survive 20-plus games without De'Aaron Fox this year. So that is first and foremost who this Sacramento Kings is. It's a team that needs their superstar in order to be the ultimate weapon that they need to be. They're not one of these teams that can be like, you know, Phoenix. It feels like, I don't think, has Phoenix played a game this year in which all three guys have played?
I don't think so.
Maybe once, if even that. So, you know, they're not a team that can really afford to, you know, load manage or have guys miss ticky-tack games here and there with nagging injuries. So that's first and foremost is they, much like the Niners, kind of need to be at full strength in order to look like the team that I think we all think they're capable of being. But so far, I would just say that they're figuring it out on the fly. And to kind of tie in with the De'Aaron Fox thing, they don't really know who they are at this point in time. I think they're quickly learning who they can be, but I don't think it's the team that they thought they would be at the beginning of the season, if that makes sense.
Right. Basically, this team, in theory, was just supposed to be, we're just going to keep rolling offensively.
Yeah,
we're going to make
you did
open
last
shots,
year, but yeah.
And we're going to play better defense.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're going to do. We added Sasha Vezenkov for the offensive punch. We added Chris Duarte for more of a defensive punch. And we're just going to rock and roll.
Yep.
And you know what they say about when you make plans? Somebody's always laughing at those plans.
Or Mike Tyson. Everyone's got a plan until you get hit in the face.
And that's what happened.
Yep.
Or roll an ankle, essentially. And that's what happened with De'Aaron Fox. And the Kings are powering through it. I will say, interesting note. And I look, like we said, the Jazz did this last season. But who did? Nuggets are missing Jamal Murray. Mm-hmm. So very similar to the Kings. I would say less important. The Nuggets missing Jamal Murray than
for sure.
De'Aaron Fox being
Absolutely.
Missed from the Kings. Nuggets just lost a game.
They did.
And who did they lose to?
I believe the Timberwolves, yeah.
The Houston Rockets.
Houston Rockets as well.
6-3 Houston Rockets.
There you go. Yeah. Six straight Houston
gonna
Rockets.
Gonna win the West.
Okay. Put some respect on their name.
Gonna win the West here.
At
the Houston
pace.
Rockets. So, you know, and that's a Denver Nuggets team that beat the Warriors without Jamal Murray.
Yep.
So how bad, and they also beat the Pelicans, and we'll talk about Zion later because give me a break, Zion. So how bad do those losses, they still look bad.
Yeah.
But I don't know what to do with the Rockets because even if the Rockets fall off a cliff, for this stretch, they are playing out of their minds.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Out of their minds.
I think at the very least, again, if you want to – if you want to take the glass half full approach to the Kings' losses so far, it's a Warrior team that just knows them incredibly well. And oh yeah, let's not forget that they also started off the season incredibly well. They started 6-2, and then yeah, Houston is a team that has won 6 straight and playing. I believe they have the longest win streak in the Western Conference right now, and they're playing incredible basketball. It's not just the fact that they're getting results and scraping by. They're killing teams. Like they beat the Lakers by 30 after beating the Kings in back-to-back games. And then, yeah, they took down the Nuggets as well. Those are really good, legitimate wins for them. So regardless of if this maintains or not, the Kings played. It's all about, you know, relative when you play a team in the schedule. Like if the Kings had to play, they had to play the Lakers early in the year when they were completely healthy. The Warriors when they were still, you know, rolling and before they ended up finding struggles. So it all depends on when you face these teams as well. And the Kings faced Houston when they were just kind of starting to get hot. You could argue maybe the Kings were that Mario Kart rainbow strip that kind of sent them on this path. But clearly Houston is a lot better of a team than what I think anybody expected them to be. So again, looking at the Kings' losses, it maybe doesn't hurt so bad to say you lost to teams that were really good when you played them.
That's right. That's right.
And it's really that cut and dry. Like, and their wins are pretty solid wins. Now the Lakers have struggled, but that's still a decent win. And, you know, against OKC heading into that game was playing totally fine. Kings beat them as well. Utah, you know, not the best opponent, but still was able to handily
not
win that
basement.
Game.
Not Didn't, in the
yeah,
basement.
Yeah, and that wasn't a struggle to win that game. So I think the Kings have done fine so far. Again, when you take a step back and you look at the reasons behind everything and you look at the future of what this team has as they're getting healthy, as, you know, Jamal Murray's going to miss a month or so and teams are struggling to kind of now they're not finding health. I think the Kings have done well so far to just kind of keep their head above water without De'Aaron Fox.
If the Kings get this win tonight without De'Aaron Fox against a fully loaded Cavs team with a star, much to Chris's chagrin, I am feeling very good about where they currently are.
For sure.
I mean, you have a Warriors team, and look, not the time for it. We can wait. They play November 28th. I may be there non-media. I'm trying to work on some things. I got to touch some people. I might be there non-media taking the wifey to go to the real game. I don't think we're taking baby. I don't think we're going to do headphones.
Yeah, the headphone
I don't think
thing.
So.
It's probably best to
I don't
just
think
get
so.
A, yeah.
I don't
Giving
think so.
Giving a sitter is the best way.
So we're not going to talk about it now, but I call it a rivalry. Even though the Kings haven't won as much as the Warriors, you can throw out the records when they play. It's always going to be a good game.
Oh, yeah.
So you have two of those, two losses, and one of them, like I said, Klay Thompson, the records show Klay Thompson has not made a jump shot since that game.
Yeah.
Since that game.
They owe us
one
now,
too. I have not
too.
Seen it. So
they definitely owe us.
You have that going on. Then you have a Houston team who is just in fuego right now. Mm-hmm. They're going Super Saiyan. Shout out Goku.
Yep.
So they're going crazy right now as well. And that's it. Besides that, you have some solid wins.
Yep.
If they get this win tonight against a Cavs team who just beat the Warriors, who they're feeling good. Donovan Mitchell is just out of his mind right now. Darius Garland is the perfect Robin to his Batman. Without De'Aaron Fox, I'm willing to start having those real conversations again about the depth of the Kings and how the Kings stack up, because I don't know how many other teams in the West, right, missing their guy. If you can do a pound for pound comparison of how important De'Aaron Fox is compared to some of these other guys, who they all have these other legitimate stars and these super teams, whatever it is, to beat OKC underdog. We got to check as well in Vegas if they're underdogs again tonight. My guess is that they would be.
They, let me check real quick. They are underdogs.
There
1.5-point underdogs.
Boom.
To the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Damn, that's
I'm trying
crazy.
To find.
Okay.
So the Cleveland Cavaliers, for what it's worth right now, are on a 3-game road trip that saw them go from Oklahoma. Well, actually, technically, this is a really weird road trip, and the NBA has to figure these things out. They were at New York, at Indiana, then came home for Golden State, then flew out to Oklahoma City, and then out to Golden State. They then play tonight in Sacramento, and then again Wednesday in Portland. So they're on a bit of a road trip here where that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Is that 6 of 7 on the road here? So that's that's a really tough road trip, and the Kings are kind of catching them right in the middle of it as well. Like, that is a very real thing, especially early in the season on your first elongated road trip. Usually those things are a little bit tough. So scheduling-wise, the Kings might have the advantage tonight as well.
Sure, but the Kings deserve a break because you're missing your...
Of course.
Yes,
they need all
superstar.
The advantage of taking
Exactly.
Absolutely.
So you'll take that 916-339-1140 right here from the 209. Kings showed a lot of fight, hustle, and sacrifice. Kings came out with the win. Fans showed up. Don't change the rotation just yet. Kings for the win tonight. Sabonis will lead the charge. Ooh. That is from Jamie. Shout out, Jamie. Got to get to a break. When we get back, Emil Fragoso, Niners reporter for Sactown Sports, breaking down the big win and what's next for the San Francisco 49ers. Siles and Watkins, Sactown Sports.
Your new home for 49ers football in the 916, Sactown Sport. Your home for Kings basketball for over 25 seasons.
Sactown Sports.
Stiles and Watkins, Sactown Sports, taking up to 2 p.m. A lot of Kings talk. We'll get right back to it. Niners talk to start the show. Kings talk is coming up. 11:45. A or B, would you rather, or who would you rather? That's at 11:45. I already messed up the tease earlier. Now I'm going to super tease it. Two players, I'm going to read their age, I'm going to read their salary, their contract, and I'm going to read their stats. And I'm just going to say A or B. And we want to know who you have. And Emil, maybe you can be a part of that as well.
Ooh. Sounds fun. Sounds really fun.
Because I see you. You're in the studio. You're messing around. I'm trying to do a show here. I see you in the back. You're messing around with Kyle in
Man,
the back.
Man, that's wild.
Oh, enough. Emil Fragoso does a great job for us, Sactown Sports Niners reporter. Emil, I mean... You talk about a statement to come back exactly how you draw it up after a bye week. The Niners come up, beat the Jaguars, and that's being nice to the Jaguars, 34-3. How did you see the win? What were your initial thoughts?
From the moment Chase Young gritted out of the tunnel, you could just feel there was a different vibe with this team.
Yeah, he was in it, too.
He was in it. Like, Chase Young talked about after the game, just it was like an out-of-body experience. Like, it was the happiest he has felt in the NFL in many years to be a part of this team. This Niner team is back. Mm-hmm. And I get it. It's one game, and it's the Jaguars. But the Jaguars were on a 5-0 winning streak, and they've beaten some pretty competitive teams along the way. And they're leading the AFC South, which, again, the Houston Texans are right up on their heels now. There's a lot of good teams even in the AFC. I know it's kind of close. Mm-hmm. But the Niners just reestablishing on all three levels, offense, defense, and special teams, that they are one of the playoff contenders. It was a big, big statement to do on the road, especially with the Trent Williams, who was 75% healthy, not 100%. But they looked the part. And the Niners, when everything's clicking right, it's wonderful. When it's not, it's not.
Man, and talking about that pass rush and Chase Young, how what would you give a report card, initial report card for the Buckeye boys or whatever they want to call
it? The Buckeye Bookends?
Do they have a nickname? A Buckeye Bookends?
The Buckeye Bookends.
A little wordy, but I'll take it. It's okay.
It's a, you know, alliteration.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Exactly.
For the pair or just for Chase Young?
Both, but definitely Chase Young for sure. I mean, they both ended up getting to the quarterback.
They did, but I got a half sack for Chase Young and two quarterback hits. I would say for Chase Young is a B+, and for the pair, an A. They were fantastic together. Yeah. Like, it was literally a race to the quarterback. When Trevor Lawrence was getting swarmed there, and you have Chase Young coming from the left side, who got there first, by the way. Chase Young should have gotten the sack most of it. Bosa was able to strip the ball out of him, take it away. When you have two superstar pass rushers going at you from one end to the other, it's just a nightmare matchup for every single quarterback. And I feel bad because Trevor was, for some reason, holding the ball a lot longer than he had in previous games. One of the faster throwing guys in the NFL this season. But going against this Niners defense and the pass rush, I mean, strength on strength, just building strength on strength.
Yeah.
It's very clear they are the team, especially pass rushing. Like, who are you going to stop?
No one. I mean, no one is going to stop them getting to the quarterback. And it really was a race. Next week, they have the Buccaneers, and I was joking about Baker Mayfield being a guy because they had beef with Baker Mayfield back in college.
Right. Oh, yeah, he planted the flag. He planted the flag.
Nick Bosa takes it real personal.
Yeah, he planted the flag. So I think it's going to be tough for them. Brock Purdy and what he has been able to do.
Yeah, man.
That throw, man, and I actually never said it. I'm going to say it here, Chris. To me, that throw to George Kittle, I am deeming that throw the hater breaker.
Wow.
The hater breaker.
Hater breaker.
Because if you watch that throw, you can't be a hater after that.
No.
You can't.
You can't.
You can't. Your favorite quarterback, you would love to make that throw. Mm-hmm.
If T.J. Stroud made that throw, if Joe Burrow made that throw, Patrick Mahomes, even on the first touchdown where he's scrambling to his left and rolls back and throws over the middle,
yeah.
risky, but if Mahomes made that, Burrow made it, Allen made it, you're all chiming in how great Brock Purdy is. You're all chiming in how great these quarterbacks are.
Yeah.
Because it's Brock Purdy, you got to be like, that was a bad decision. I don't like that. And it's super funny because we all talked all the time about Brock Purdy and his arm strength and how it wasn't to the standards of regular franchise quarterbacks, Trevor Lawrence. He doesn't have the gun. He can't throw it 70 yards down the field. Is it possible that the UCL surgery made his arm stronger? It looks like it got better.
Well, I don't know about that.
No!
I don't know. Whitey said that before, that like with baseball pitch, I mean, you would probably know a little bit more about the baseball
typical.
Angle.
It's
but
not
like,
a thing.
Sometimes
normally.
Guys get Tommy John, which he did not get. He didn't
he had
didn't
a UCL
get Tommy John
repair,
surgery.
not reconstruction to Tommy John. A repair is just reattaching it and, you know, putting screws in.
I remember Whitey telling me that in the past, and now it's not the case all the time, but in the past, some people have came back with even stronger arms. Like, they rebuilt it to be even stronger.
And I feel like that's the case because you look back, then they played the Raiders last year, and he had that deep interception. That was a duck that he threw against the Raiders last year, and that was picked off, I forget by who. But he's not making the throw to Kittle that he made yesterday. Last season. I don't think he is. I think his arm talent and his strength has gotten up because he's had to work so much and had to come back from this injury that he's overworked his arm to the point where it's actually like a lot more muscle than it was in college.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
We need to keep that.
We need to keep that for sure. I don't like that. Why does it sound like SpongeBob?
Yeah, it does sound like SpongeBob. It does.
Anyway, Brock Purdy, that throw was incredible. The fact that he was being collapsed in the pocket and had literally no place to step into and just hucked it, maybe with his eyes closed, I don't know, but it was perfectly on the money to George Kittle, and they knew that they were in man coverage and that Kittle was going to get open. It just took a second, and for Purdy to have the faith to just throw that thing, I mean, that's a high-level quarterback right there.
Yeah, so just kind of breaking down his performance, what would you say? I mean, what the last couple games, and really last couple throws in the last quarter of those couple games, not even the whole game.
Yes.
Much ado about nothing?
I would say it's him trying to do too much. Again, the Niners have struggled to come back from a deficit, especially late. You know, Kyle has like 1-30 when he comes back 6 points or under in the fourth quarter, 1-38 when they're trailing by more than 7 points in the fourth quarter.
We read them. It's not great.
It's not good. It's a real thing now. I don't like that.
I don't.
That's why the Niners have to be up. And when they're up, they are just humming like a fine-tuned machine. And I think Brock Purdy is a very talented quarterback. And yes, those mistakes can happen. But because of those mistakes, because of the week 8 collapse that he had, it wasn't a good fourth quarter because of those late picks. He went on a break, went on a bye, reset, went to Iowa, used a tractor to plow his fiance's fields and all that great stuff, and just got away. That helped him reset because he took it to heart. He took all that to heart. And this guy is one of those guys where if he makes even a minuscule mistake, he'll think about it over and over and over again. It's an obsession. It's a perfection thing. And that's kind of what the Niners are on, of being perfect. They want to be perfect every single game. And that's never going to happen. But even after this game where you're up 34-3, he's like, there's some things we got to work on, guys.
I was looking at some of George Kittle's numbers, and after that three touchdown performance against the Cowboys, he had that at this point pretty infamous or notorious 1 yard performance in that Browns game. Since then, in the past 3 weeks or three games, I should say, Kittle has 17 catches for 343 yards and a touchdown. Do you feel like that's intentional? Do you feel like after having that big performance against Dallas and then doing pretty much nothing against Cleveland, Kyle kind of has made it a point to give him the ball? I mean, it was the second play of the second half that they did that 66-yard touchdown to Kittle. So do you feel like they're making it a point to kind of get him involved after, you know, over the first 5 weeks were mainly in Christian McCaffrey shows?
Yeah, I do think, and I think it's kind of because they've had a lot of issues on the right side of the line, and that's why Kittle kind of is there to chip the pass rusher and then get out, and so it kind of delays his timing on the routes and stuff. But when you line up Kittle against a linebacker, and that's kind of what happened on that play where he got deep, he was lined up on a linebacker and got around him, and that's just kind of easy money for a guy like George Kittle. That play especially, that wasn't in the pregame huddle. There's usually a 8 to 10 plays they want to call after halftime, like, let's go to this play. That wasn't in there, apparently, according to Kittle. So when Kyle called it, they were all kind of surprised, but they knew that because they were in man coverage that no one else was on that side of the field. So if Kittle won his route and got open, it was a free touchdown. And so to have a guy like George Kittle, who I think is on par with like Travis Kelce in terms of the most after the catch athletic tight ends I've seen in a long time, mm-hmm. because what he does in the open field is just special. It's a luxury for this team who has Deebo Samuel, Christian McCaffrey, Brandon Ayuk. I mean, the list just goes on in terms of offensive playmakers, and to have a guy like Kittle, who is now 30 years old, no longer a young up-and-comer, but to still play at this high level is just so special for this team. Wow.
Emil Fragoso, Sactown Sports Niners reporter. Emil, thank you as always. I know you got to run, and you're dealing with Kyle Shanahan. He's going to speak to the media. So, are you going to Santa Clara, or are you just going to
zoom
in?
No, it's a conference call. Okay. But they changed the time, so I got to be wary of that.
There you go. Well, Emil, thank you as always. We will talk to you again next week, hopefully celebrating another Niners W and probably a couple sacks. And if you're watching on the YouTube, you probably just saw Emil do the Nick Bosa shrug, and maybe there will be a couple of those after they get after the quarterback in Baker Mayfield, because they don't like that guy out there. But Emil, we love you.
Thank you.
And thanks for joining as always. We'll talk to you soon. When we get back, would you rather two guys... Player A or Player B? I'm asking Kyle. I'm asking Chris. I'm going to ask Emil, who's going to be back messing around with Kyle as usual. And I'm asking you, the audience. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports.
Ah, I don't like that.
Your flagship station for the Beam Team, Sactown Sports.
Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports. Thank you again to Emil Fragoso for checking in with us as we talked all things Niners and we get back to the Kings. Because we are monitoring the situation. Chris, do you have the tweet up from Shams?
Yes, I do.
Because it is...
My check.
Right, because it is... Something that I guess broke, and Shams, look, man, he's 0 for 1 on Kings reports.
Yeah.
So, not to say we're going to take it with a grain of salt, but we are just monitoring the situation. Chris, you have the tweet.
This one's a little bit more credible, I will say, and I'll explain why after. This is from at Shams Charania. Sacramento Kings all-star De'Aaron Fox is expected to return to the lineup as soon as tonight versus the Cavaliers or Wednesday at the Lakers. Sources tell me, and at Sam Amick, Fox has missed the last 5 games due to a sprained ankle. He was a full participant in today's shootaround. Also, if you follow our great Sacramento Kings insiders, either Frankie Cardicelli or Brendan Nunes, then you would know that De'Aaron also was a full or a partial participant in practice yesterday. But they said he was pretty much looking like he was at full speed. So whether or not he fully participated or partially participated, it seemed like yesterday he was heavily involved in the practice. And so, it seems like we don't have to wait much longer for De'Aaron to come back. I would be surprised if it's night, but I definitely think by the end of this week, it seems like we'll get that all-star back.
Well, and that again makes this game even more important if he doesn't play, because... That would mean you made it, right? Yep. You made it out, and it wasn't easy.
You see the light at the end of the tunnel a little,
because,
you know?
I mean, if you're, and obviously we've been talking about the Rockets being maybe better than we assumed they were going to be.
Yep.
But if you look at the trajectory of what the Kings have done, if they're able to get this W tonight, you would say, okay, you lost De'Aaron Fox, you finished out that Laker game. I'll take that. Then you went on to play a darn good game against the Warriors. Unfortunately, Klay Thompson closed his eyes and made a shot. And then that's your first loss without De'Aaron. Then you have a rough go. You have a rough go in Houston to a team that is now being thought as better than we initially thought, but you still didn't show up.
Yep.
That was basically hopefully the worst of it.
Hopefully that's rock bottom.
That Blazers game, right. That Blazers game, you powered through and you're able to get the W, and now maybe you are crawling your way out of this hole that you found yourself in to beat a good Thunder team who you were not favored in. You were underdogs at home, first in season tournament game. And next, you have to go up against the Cavs, who have been rolling a little bit. Yeah, they're on a road trip, but they've been rolling with a superstar in Donovan Mitchell and a nice secondary guard in Darius Garland and a long, long front court with Mobley and Allen. So if you can get that W and then tell them what they've won, Johnny, you get De'Aaron Fox back with the Lakers. And I'm looking here, just being on Shams' page 23 hours ago, LeBron was out when they faced the Blazers. I believe they won. I believe the Lakers won. I don't know if that's just a LeBron being older thing. We'll assume that LeBron is going to play, but you got to go to L.A., and it would be really nice to have De'Aaron when you head down there. So they're having problems. You're bringing Reeves off the bench. He was supposed to be your big three. Now, all of a sudden, the Lakers need another star because that's what the media does. So it's a very good opportunity for the Kings to get out of this thing just as good as you can and look at it again. I've been using a lot of golf comparisons here. Just get out of there with with your bogey and just be very happy. It's a pretty bogey, as we'd say.
Yeah.
If you can get that W today, I would consider this time without De'Aaron Fox to be a very pretty bogey.
For sure.
And to just keep it pushing. The 209 on the text line, if you want to be a part of the conversation, of course, we would love to have you as well. 916-339-1140 says, can we get the dog bark sound? That's at 115.
Yeah, it's coming.
Hang on, 209. 115, we got the dog bark sounds for you, and we will continue to monitor. We will be in touch with Brendan Nunes and our guy Frankie, or Franco, as I like to call him, Cardicelli as well. Franco Cardo, right? If we hear anything else, you, of course, will be the first to know because, of course, we are at Sacktown Sports, the flagship. And you can hear every game, whether De'Aaron does or does not play.
Yes. And Brendan Nunes did text me as this segment is going on because he is the most inside of insiders. And let me know that De'Aaron was a full participant yesterday, including 5-on-5 drills. So he is back to full contact. And, I mean, it seems like, at least from the practices, he's all but ready to go. So I don't know if it's going to be a pain tolerance thing, if they're going to check up on him later in the day and see, hey, you were a full go yesterday. Is there any extra swelling, any extra pain or anything like that? Maybe that's what's going to determine it. But it's good that he's at least practicing and clearly on pace to make a quick return. I want to ask you something just off of what you've seen, like you perfectly put through what the Kings have been going through these last couple weeks without De'Aaron. Do you feel like... And there's really, this is kind of an unfair question. It's almost impossible to know. But do you feel like from what you've seen from this team, De'Aaron coming back would be, how do you think they would respond? Would it be an invigorating presence where De'Aaron's back, it gives everyone an energy because they feel like their guy is back and all things are possible? Or is it one of those where it's like, man, boy, oh boy, do we need you. And De'Aaron goes out there and everyone's just so excited to have him back that they almost don't pull the same weight that they've been pulling because it's like the only reason I've been pulling this weight is because this guy's not here and now we can rely a little bit more. Again, a little bit of an impossible question for you.
Yeah.
But just from what you've seen so far this year, are you leaning one way or the other?
I would lean towards, and it's a great question, I would lean towards the team feeling like, hey, I think it would be more about, hey, how do we get De'Aaron involved?
Yeah.
But I don't think they would say, here, De'Aaron, here's the ball. We've missed you. Because I think everybody on that team knew with the expectation that they have had from the moment Steph Curry did the fake light the beam on game 7, I think the expectation they have had has been that we need to get to the next level.
Yeah.
And to get to the next level, we can't just give the ball to De'Aaron. Mm-hmm. So I would say that I would expect De'Aaron to have to find his way back. Mm. And I think he would prefer it that way because we know that he will.
Right.
But I don't think it's going to be great. De'Aaron's here. We're just going to...
35 again.
Yeah,
give us 40, please.
Now, he might.
Yeah.
But I think that at the same time, they understand, hey, we know our role and we know that De'Aaron, like, come clutch time, it's going to be De'Aaron. But we know we have to show up because this... Look, the De'Aaron take us to the promised land, what did it last? A couple games before he got injured?
Yeah.
Right? So, and that's not why he got injured.
Right.
But the load that he was being asked to carry was never sustainable.
Yeah.
And I think everybody knows that. Is that going to help the ball go in the basket anymore? I don't know. Probably not. But I think that I wouldn't expect the team to be very passive just because he's returning. Right. I would expect them to say, De'Aaron's back, that's great, but we're going to keep rolling because that helps him.
Yeah.
so we can all keep rolling.
Right, exactly. And I think that's the way that Mike Brown's definitely going to preach it for sure. And yeah, like you said, I think you put that perfectly. Like the easy, you, when someone's coming back from injury also, the last thing you want to do is just say, oh yeah, here's your full plate again.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
You'd like to kind of slow feed them into it. And even if it happens throughout the game, kind of like you described, like if it is still, hey, De'Aaron, we still definitely need you in that fourth quarter, but let's carry our weight for the first three and a half, three quarters, just so you can kind of still, you know, ease your way into it. But let's not forget how important you still are to this unit, and we still have some things that we can't do without you.
Exactly. You know? Got to get to a break. When we get back, had to push it because Emil Fragoso is just his world, and we're just living in it. But
thanks,
when we
Kyle
get back,
Shanahan.
Would you rather player A or player B? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Nobody get me twisted. We need De'Aaron Fox. We need NEED.